You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
The church is a place to get restored, to get help, to get healed, to get charged, to get challenged, to get changed. Yeah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. I mean, it's a big world out here. There's a world that's in desperate need of Jesus Christ. There's suffering, dying humanity out there, and we need to get our focus right. Church, it narrows our focus. We get so scattered. There's so many voices in the world today. So many things that rob our time and our distract us. You know, the world's full of distractions. And yet in church, we begin to see what things are really all about. A lot of the things we thought were important weren't. The things that we just worried over, fretted over, laid awake all night about, got mad about, upset about, found out it wasn't any big deal after all. Yeah. Making a mountain out of a molehill. The devil's just trying to distract us and get us off our purpose. You know, we think we not getting our due in life, not getting our rights in life, and so on and so forth. Nobody cares, and nobody knows the trouble I see. You know, sing those songs. And then we begin to realize in church, hey, I do count. I am important. God loves me. He sent His Son to die for my sins and rise again. He's on my side. Hallelujah. He's in me, and greater is He is in me, and He is in the world.
Amen.
I got a future. I got a destiny. Hallelujah. Woo! Don't know about you, but I'm getting excited thinking about it. But see, you and I have to stay fired up. I love what Dr. Bud shared there about being passionate. God's looking for a passionate people. Now, of course, we need to know what He says. Of course, we need to be right about what it is we're doing and what we're believing. But see, I think sometimes we leave out the passion. And because we leave the passion out, people remain unconvinced and untouched. We don't get their attention. There's no boldness in our life. There's no passion in our life. We're not really sold out about what we're doing, not really serious about what we're doing. And so the world sees that. I tell you, the world's looking for someone that's passionate. Yeah. Problem is, they're following passionate people who are passionate about the wrong things. And here we have every reason to be fired up. Get fired up, amen? In our conference last weekend was Accelerate, igniting the fire of God in the hearts of believers. You've got something to be fired up about. Maybe you just, you know, you don't have a lot of hope for the future. Maybe you don't feel real good about yourself or about what's coming on, you know, what's going to be happening in your family, ministry, job, and so on and so forth. Well, I'm here to tell you, you've got reason to get fired up.
Amen.
It's not over. Hallelujah. In fact, I got good news. I've got great news. Jesus is for you. And if God be for you, who can be against you? Hallelujah. Keep the fire burning. Turn with me to Leviticus Chapter 6. Oh, you're going to love this. Woo! I'm just so excited because I know what I'm going to say next. You are going to love this.
Man.
I was reading this, thinking of meditating on this. And as we read this, you're going to think, what has that got to do with anything? That's why I'm here. To connect the dots. Hallelujah. To put it in perspective. Let's read through here in Leviticus Chapter 6, verse 9, says, command Aaron and his sons. Now, Leviticus is a book that you have all the laws of the priesthood and dietary laws and ceremonial laws and sacrifice, the laws of sacrifice and so on and so forth. So it's just a lot of laws. Leviticus was the priesthood, the ones that administered the law, the priest of the Lord. You got Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Genesis was beginnings, the first things, the creation, and so on. Exodus means the way out or road out. That's when they left Egypt. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus is the giving of the law, all the different laws they have in there. And then Numbers was the one that we all love to read. That's the numbering of the tribes. I'm sure you got that one memorized, don't you? The number of God's people. And there are some tremendous stories in there also. But then Deuteronomy just means the second giving of the law. That's what Deuteros, second nomos law means. And so here, it seems to get you seem to get bogged down sometimes in all these laws and all these dietary laws and priestly laws. But there are types and shadows in there. God was saying something through all this. Amen? In Leviticus 6, verse 9, he says, command Aaron and his sons, saying, this is the law of the burnt offering. Everybody say burnt offering.
Burnt offering.
The burnt offering shall be on the hearth upon the altar all night until morning, and the fire of the altar shall be kept burning on it. And the priest shall put on his linen garment and his linen trousers, and he shall put on his body and take up the ashes of the burnt offering which the fire has consumed on the altar, and he shall put them beside the altar. Then he shall take off his garments, put on other garments, and carry the ashes outside the camp to a clean place. And the fire on the altar shall be kept burning on it, and it shall not be put out. And the priest shall burn wood on it every morning and lay the burnt offering in order on it. And he shall burn on it the fat of the peace offerings. 13th verse, a fire shall always be burning on the altar. It shall never go out. I love that. I mean, when I read that, it just speaks volumes to me. You know, that we ought to keep the fire burning. It shall never go out. Ever, never, ever go out. One thing about fire, it consumes. You know, fire and passion consumes. It'll consume the chaff or the things that don't amount to anything. It'll burn up paper and wood and things that aren't strong and solid in your life. In this case, the fire of God will burn out the sin in your life. No question about it. It'll keep you holy. It'll keep you pure. If you stay on fire for God and passionate about God, it'll burn that junk out of your life. Amen. Notice in here it also says that when that was done, the ashes would be taken outside the camp. You need to get rid of the sin. When it's burnt out, get rid of it. Don't let it hang around. Hello. Don't cater to it. Don't pet it. Don't keep it in your house. I mean, it's like, you know, you don't put a fifth of whiskey on the table in front of an alcoholic and tell him not to take a drink. Get rid of it. Hello. If you've had temptations in the past, if you've had inclinations, proclivities, or bents towards certain sins, are you out there? Sin, and it's all wrong, but you do realize that some of us have a pull towards certain sins more than other sins. Some sins don't even bother some people. Some can't even get around it. They're going to give in to it. That's just the way it is. We're all unique. We're all designed differently. What you got to realize is, kind of hate quoting Clint Eastwood in one of those Dirty Harry movies, but he said a man's got to know his limitations. You know? You got to know your limitations. You got to know when God's burnt something out of you, get rid of it. Get it out of your life. But what's going to keep it out? Fire is going to keep it out. Passion is going to keep it out. Keep the fire going in your marriage. Keep the fire going in your business. Keep the fire going in your service to God. In fact, don't try to serve God without fire. That'd be like offering to God something and not burning it. That went over real big, and I know you're going to have to meditate on that. And one day you're going to call me this week and say, oh, that was awesome. I got it. But what happens is because we're not passionate, we're kind of half-heartedly serving God. And we're not really pure in our service to God. But if you'll get fired up and you get passionate about what you're doing, you ought to be sold out about this thing. You know, anybody selling anything does better when they believe in what they're selling. You ever notice that? I mean, you get a guy even in sports that's passionate about sports. He loves it. It's not just a job to him. It's a life. It's a passion. You know, people love watching those kind of guys, watching people that have that kind of passion. The world is looking because people gather around a fire. Come on. People gather around a fire. Fire draws people. Your passion will draw people. We got the message, no question about that. We got it right, no question. Jesus is the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father but by Him. We got the truth here, no question about that. But I think where we're lacking in many cases is our passion. Being sold out, sincere, passionate about what we believe. Doesn't mean you're jumping up and down every minute. I'm not saying that. But I mean there is a fire in your eyes. There's a boldness in your voice. There's a confidence in what you see. You know this is right. Hallelujah. And you know it's amazing when you get a hold of something that you just changed your life. You want everybody to get a hold of it. You really do. I mean, you just wait. You get around. You can be on a bus. You can be on a plane. You can be on a train. You can be in a group or a crowd. Somebody sneeze. If people are close enough together, they'll start talking about it. Oh, you know what you need to do? You ought to take this. You get a Dr. Pepper and you heat it up and put some lemon in it. Before long, all these little remedies start coming out, you know. People start talking and sharing how they can help you because they really believe this. Are you with me? I mean, you know what I'm talking about. Or you get a bunch of guys together and somebody says something about football. Come on. Yeah, the anointing comes on. Yeah. And then we all start talking about Brett Favre. Should he retire? Should he not retire? Did they kick him out? Did they pay him that money or not? What happened to Brett Favre? And all the women, I love Brett Favre. Ooh, I hate it. But anyway, when you're passionate about something, you're consumed with it. You talk about it just like that. And you know what? You draw a crowd. You draw a crowd. I've seen people talk about all kinds of things, not even necessarily the Bible, just something they're passionate about. And, you know, I just kind of want to go over and talk to them because I can see they're really excited about it. It kind of draws me over there. But see, if we're passionate about the Lord, passionate about the fire's burning, okay, it's going to draw people. It absolutely will. People are looking for fires to sit down by. You know, the problem with Peter after Jesus was, you know, when he was abducted in the Garden of Eden, the Bible says he warmed himself by their fire. The problem with Peter was he sat down at the wrong fire. But there was a fire going over there. They were just fired up about the wrong things. You got to make sure you're fired up about the right thing. Get it right. Get the scripture right, no question. Get the doctrine right, no question. Make sure you're right and in line with what God says. And then when you offer anything to God, put some fire on it. You know what fire is? Now, I know if you're not from East Texas, you think I'm saying F-A-R, far, but I'm saying far. Fire. Put some fire on it. Don't serve God without fire. Don't make your offerings without fire. And you know what? Keep the fire going all the time. Keep it going all the time. You ought to be fired up. You say, well, I'm not. Well, you need to be. I know how you can get there. You need to get back on your knees. You need to pray. You need to get the word back in you. Start stirring it up in you. You'll be like Jeremiah when he said, I wasn't going to say anything, but your word was like a fire shut up in my bones. And I was not going to speak, but I couldn't help myself. The fire motivated him. The fire stirred him. The fire of God's word. See, our God is a consuming fire. The fire you need, the passion you need that you're missing in your life is in God and in his word. It really is. You can fan the flames. You can rekindle that fire. You ever been stirred up? Amen. I remember times in my life when I was seemingly more stirred up than others. But you know, when I was stirred up, I was talking and I was walking it. I was sharing it. Hallelujah. I mean, not just in church. Right. You know, Brent and I actually preach to each other all the time, believe it or not. We share scriptures with each other all the time. We're always, hey, how about this? Oh, isn't this a good scripture? Amanda. You know, of course, we're in the office of Amanda quite a bit. We do this all the time. Oh, hey, I like this translation. Oh, isn't that good? Oh, that is so good. I mean, we get excited about the Word. We're fired up about God's Word. It is a passion with us. Woo! So, he says, 13th verse, a fire shall always be burning on the altar. It shall never go out. Now, God didn't keep that fire going in that sense. They did. Amen? Yeah. They did. They did the things it took to keep it going. They kept putting wood on it. They kept going for it. They kept firing it up. They kept fanning the flames. That's something you and I have to do. Amen? In fact, turn with me to Luke 12. I want to get you fired up. Amen. In a good way. Because passion can mean a lot of things. People can be passionately upset, you know. In Luke 12, notice this. This is Jesus speaking. I just want to really basically go one verse here. Luke 12, this is the account where he talks about seeking first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness and all these things will be added to you. 32nd verse, Luke 12, 32, do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Hallelujah. God wants to bless you. He wants to prosper you. He wants to help you. You know, he's for you. He's not against you. Don't you get depressed. Don't you pay one bit of attention to what's going on with the economy and the news and the gas prices and all the... My Lord, somebody come up to you and say, hey, I think we need to pay you more money. Come on. Or somebody come up to you and say, hey, you know what? I think we need to give you $1,200 more a month. What, are you crazy? No, you just heard the text. People just said that. That can happen. Our God supplies all of our need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. It doesn't matter if gas goes to $10 a gallon. I'm not believing it. I'm just saying it doesn't matter what it goes to. It's not the gas price. What are you talking about? It's God's economy we're looking at. It's God's provision we're looking at. That's why I'm still fired up. That's why I lost my passion. Who cares about the economy? Well, I'm praying for the government. I'm praying, you know, for wisdom and all those things. But you know what? My God supplies my need.
Amen.
According to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Woo! That's why we can stay fired up. Because this hadn't changed. God hadn't changed. His Word hadn't changed. I'm the Lord God. I change not. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Maybe you hadn't been aware of that. Maybe you didn't know that. Maybe you don't even know Jesus. But hey, we can fix that. You can come to Jesus today. Oh, hallelujah. Start a whole new life. Okay. He says this. 32nd verse. Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell what you have and give alms, provide yourselves money bags which do not grow old. How do you do that? Well, that's given to the Lord. A treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches and moth destroys. You know, what I do for God, it's not stolen, it's not taken away, it doesn't depreciate, it's not dependent on the economy. When I give, God takes note, He takes care of me. Amen?
Amen.
And notice this, 34th verse, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Let your waist be girded and your lamps burning. I love that. In other words, don't get deterred. Don't let it slow you down. Don't get your eyes on finances, how you're going to make it, what we're going to do. Don't let it dampen the fire or the flame. You keep your heart on God. And if you keep your heart on God and your treasure is in heaven, you can keep the fire burning.
Amen.
Why do people get discouraged in ministry? I see it all the time. Because they just don't have the money they need to build the buildings and to do the outreaches. And it's always this and that. Don't have the money to do this. Don't have money to do that. Listen, we've got to get fired up.
Amen.
I know those are issues that we need to believe God for, and I understand that. But that doesn't have anything to do with my passion. That has nothing to do with my fire. Well, I want to do this, and I can't do it because of this and that and that. Oh, come on. What are you talking about? The fire of God's inside of you. Keep the fire burning.
Amen.
Keep the fire burning. Where's your heart? Where's your focus? Don't get it on things out here. God does want to bless us. I believe He will. But see, we're maybe in a trial. Maybe we're being hit with a battle. Maybe the devil's upset with our country. Obviously, he is. But you know what? That doesn't change God. That doesn't change His promises. That doesn't change my destiny. That doesn't change my ministry. It should not affect the fire in my soul. Paul said, I've learned whatever state I'm in to be content therewith. In other words, his contentment, his passion, his fire, his peace, it all came from God. Didn't come from any circumstance. Didn't come from the outside. Came from the inside. Woo! So, keep the fire burning. Let your waist be girded and your lamps burning. He's talking about ministry here. He's talking about be a witness, be a light, be an example, love people, help people, share the good news, and keep the fire burning. Stay stirred up about ministry, stirred up about people that, you know, there's a lost and assigned dying humanity out there. There's a lost world out there that you can actually touch and reach. In your life, I don't care if it's a job, if it's relatives, it's neighbors, you're going to run across somebody that is in desperate need of help. Whether it's encouragement, whether it's prayer, whether it's the need of Jesus, whatever the case may be, and you are there, ooh, man, that ought to fire you up.
Amen.
You are able to help them. You have the answer. You have what they need. That ought to stir you. You can make a difference. You are making a difference.
Amen.
Keep the fire burning. Well, turn with me to Titus. Hallelujah. Titus 2. This helping you?
Amen.
I'm going to keep you a few more minutes here. Y'all stay with me. Just keep the fire burning.
Amen.
Titus. 1 Timothy, Titus. Notice what it says here in 2nd chapter in the 11th verse. It says, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. How do you believe that? A couple of you do. That's good. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age. That's a given. Surely you understand we ought to live right and live holy before God. You know, in our endeavors to reach the world and try to reach as many people as we can. And, you know, and sometimes your songs change in the service because the styles change. And sometimes the clothes we wear does change somewhat, you know, say, than 100 years ago. One thing doesn't change, and that's holy living. Holy living doesn't change. Amen. Stand on the word doesn't change. The gospel doesn't change. Some things never change. I mean, styles and methods sometimes do, but the message never, ever, ever changes. And so he says, we teach this, that we deny ungodliness and worldly lusts, and we should, you know, live soberly and righteously and godly in this present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. That ought to keep you fired up. Yes. Hallelujah. Jesus is coming. Amen. Yes. And then he says, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. Or you might say fired up for good works. We ought to have a zeal or a zealousness or a fire or a burning or a flame in us to serve God. We want to do what's right. We want to serve God. This is what Jesus came to do. Let's read it again. He gave himself for us that. Everybody say that. All right, that means for this purpose, for this reason. And everybody would agree that he gave himself for us that he might redeem us. We know that. He did purchase our salvation. He bought, he paid for our salvation. He gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed. Well, I like that, man. I could preach a message on that. He didn't just redeem us from the penalty of the deed. He came to redeem us from the deed. So we don't have to do the deed anymore. Well, I'm not perfect. I'm just forgiven. You know, you see those bumper stickers like that. And I understand what they're saying. Nobody's perfect. We're forgiven. But God did more than just forgive us of our sin. He came and delivered us from our sin. In fact, the Bible says he saved us from our sin. Now, we just think in terms of the penalty of it. No, that's not what it says. It says he saved us from our sin. And here it says he redeemed us from our lawless deeds. Hallelujah, I'm not a slave to sin anymore. I've been freed from sin. Not just from the penalty of it, from hell and all those things. Yes, praise God, I'm going to heaven. My sins are forgiven. I'm washed in the blood. But I'm more than just forgiven. I've been saved from my sins. I've been saved from lying. Woo, I don't have to lie no more. I can, but I don't have to. I don't have to rob those banks no more. I can, but I don't have to. And we can go right on down the list. See, I've been redeemed from this. See, this is my fire, my passion to serve God. Comes from the new birth. It comes from being born again. See, I can stir it back up. I can kindle it back up. He came to redeem me from the life I was living passionately to passionately now serve him, to be zealous now for good works. Whereas I was a fanatic for sin, I'm a fanatic for serving God now. Where I used to be crazy about sin, I'm crazy about serving God now. I used to be fired up about party weekend. It's party time. Now I'm fired up about Sundays. Hallelujah. It's time to go to church. See, the fire's in me now. The passion's in me now to serve God. And people see that. People run to that. People are looking for that. People are looking for people who have passion. Who have passion. The greatest heroes of time. The greatest, you know, you can look at celebrities and actors and actresses and so on and so forth. The hero is always a passionate person, a very focused person that does not compromise, that has a task at hand and goes out and does it and accomplishes it. And doesn't give in and doesn't turn to the left or to the right, but keeps head on. You know, and that's what God's looking for. He's looking for people who are sold out. He's looking for us who really believe what we believe. I wouldn't be alive today without Jesus. I wouldn't be here today without Jesus. I mean, yeah, I'm saved and going to heaven. I'm grateful. And boy, I'm just like Fred said, I cry when I think about it. You know how good God's been to me. But I know that I know that I know that I wouldn't be standing here today without Jesus. I wouldn't be who I am today. I wouldn't have a future. I wouldn't have a destiny. I wouldn't have a purpose or a reason for existence. But praise God, I've got reason now. I've got a purpose for life. because of what Jesus did. I am a Christian. That means something. That really, really means something. That's going to take me on past this life on into the next one. Nothing in this life compares to that. The world needs that. Amen? Turn to Romans 12. Hallelujah. And we'll slowly close this out. Everybody say slowly. You know, I wrote some things down here I was going to read too on passion. I thought it was real good. Keep the fire burning, amen? Keep the fire burning. Don't. How dare you serve God without passion? How dare you offer things to God without fire? You know, a lot of reasons that when you think about it, the reason we serve Him with passion, the reason we offer with passion, because it does burn out the junk. It burns out the sin. Without the offering being burned, then the junk is still in it. God's not looking for Eeyores to preach the gospel. Y'all know Eeyore on Winnie the Pooh? Well, let me tell you some good news. Jesus died for your sins. Thank God we don't have to go to hell. No, come on, man. He's called us to be passionate about this. Praise God, we got the answer. You can go to heaven. You can miss hell. The gate's open. What are you doing in the prison? Come on out. Come on. Come on. Come one. Come all. Hallelujah. Come to Jesus. His arms are extended. He's saying, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. You'll find rest for your very souls. If any man come to me, Jesus said, I will not cast him out. I will no wise reject him. He is just waiting on you. Hallelujah. Come to him. This wonderful life, this great adventure, this journey, this destiny that's waiting on you. Eternal life. Hallelujah. Woo. Passion. Passion is ardor. It's zeal. It's fervor. It's fervency. It's emotion. It's excitement. It's strong feeling. It's intensity. You don't have to write this down. You can't write that fast. It's intentness. We're intent about this. It's vitality. It's exhilaration. It's eagerness. It's earnestness. It's zest and zestfulness. It's vivacity. Come on, it's Mr. Bluebird on your shoulder. Zippity doodah, zippity a. It's animation. It's verb. It's gusto. You gotta love that one. That's good. You know, you need gusto in your life. You just need Jesus. That's what you need. He'll put some gusto in your life. He'll put some passion in your life. Oh, that's so good. Okay, I'm going to close out with this. This helping you? Get fired up. Get fired up. You know what Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 1, 6? He said, stir up the gift that is within you. Stir it up, stir it up, stir it up. That next verse, God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but a power of love and a sound mind. He was telling Timothy, don't you be afraid. Don't you back up. No, you stir up that gift. See, sometimes you've got to stir the pot. You've got to stir it up. You've got to stir it up. You've got to rekindle it. You've got to fan the flames. Amen. Okay, that's what church is about. That's why we get together. That's why you need brothers and sisters in the Lord. You need fellowship, good Christian fellowship. Amen. In Romans 12, this is so good. Romans 12, verse 9 says, let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love and honor, giving, and preferring preference to one another. Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Not just serving the Lord, but fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Let me read this to you. The message is so good. That ninth verse says, let love from the center of who you are. Don't fake it. Run for dear life from evil. Hold on for dear life to good. Be good friends who love deeply. Practice playing second fiddle. Don't burn out. Keep your service fueled, yourselves fueled and aflame. Oh, man, I love that. See, you say, well, I just feel like I'm burning out. Well, let me tell you something. You need to get your eyes on the prize here. You need to get your focus right. You're thinking about all the things you're doing, how they don't count and they don't matter. Everything you do does count. Everything you do does matter. And if you'll keep the fire going, you'll think about what it's all about. You're doing this for Jesus. I remember building buildings. Goodness, we built buildings out here and poured parking lots and done all kinds of things. And we've dug ditches and got out here in the heat. And, you know, and just digging a ditch, not a whole lot. But when you think about what you're digging that ditch for, we had a guy out here digging a ditch and putting a bore under our driveway just a few months ago, a couple months ago, Dennis Buzel. You know, and Dale and I were out here, and he was digging. Dennis began to tell me all these things about it. He felt like he'd missed out on ministry, and he said, here I am out. He says, I feel like I'm called, and I'm supposed to be doing something for the Lord. I'm out here digging this ditch. I said, Dennis, let me tell you something about this ditch. This ditch right here is going to have a pipe in it. It's going to go out to that big Family Life Center out there, and people are going to come out there, and they're going to get saved, they're going to get healed, and they're going to get set free. Marriage is going to come back together. The power of God's going to come down, all because of this ditch you're digging here. I said, this ditch has value. That'll fire you up and dig a ditch, won't it? See, all we do has a purpose. We got to stay fired up about it. We're doing this for a reason. My life counts. My holy living counts. My witness counts. You never know who it's going to impact. You never know who's going to be touched by that. You never know who's going to be saved because I'm serving God. Hallelujah. Because I made a stand. And I'm passionate about it. I'm excited about it. I've got verb and gusto. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Zest and zestfulness. See, don't serve God without the fire. You need to keep the fire burning all the time. Serve the Lord. Be fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Be fueled in the flame. Don't burn out.